Good morning and welcome to Fortaleza Materiales' Q3 2021 conference call. Now all lines have been placed in a listen-only mode to prevent any background noise. Following the management's remarks, the call will be open for a Q&A session and instructions will be provided at that time. I will now turn the call over to Iris Fernández, Fortaleza Materiales' Head of Treasury and Investor Relations. Please go ahead.
Good morning and welcome everyone. We very much appreciate your participation. During this call, we will be discussing Fortaleza Materiales' performance as per the press release issued yesterday, which is available on the company's investor relations website. It is important to point out that a presentation is ready to accompany management's remarks. We hope you find this feature useful. All figures discussed today are unaudited and expressed in Mexican pesos, unless otherwise stated. All comparisons are related to the last year's corresponding period. Let me remind you that forward-looking statements might be made over this presentation. These are based on information currently available that is subject to changes due to a variety of factors. Please refer to our disclaimer in the presentation for guidance. Let me remind you that this call is pursued for investors and analysts only. Joining us today are Mr. Jaime Rocha Font, our Chief Executive Officer, and Ms. María de Lourdes Barajas, our Chief Financial Officer. Jaime will comment on the highlights for the period, overall progress in the business plan execution, as well as shed some light on the company's and segment's outlook towards year-end. Lourdes will discuss our financial performance in more detail, and then both will be glad to address your questions. With that, I will turn it over to Jaime.
Thank you, Iris. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us today in our first conference call as an independent business. Let's jump right into this quarter's main takeaways. Next slide, please. Our top-line performance was affected by a series of factors that slowed down production, even after considering the relatively strong demand in the United States and Mexico, such as Mexico's federal Congress election, which typically result in restrictions to government spending, extreme weather effects such as drought and then followed by heavy rains, and supply disruptions due to strained transportation capacity and labor shortages. However, as you can see on our EBITDA and net income performance, we were successful in offsetting these effects, plus rising input costs, particularly energy. This confirms that our overall strategy oriented to improve profitability and operating margins in combination with swift actions on pricing is paying off as intended. This resilient performance allow us to maintain stable and healthy balance sheet, which hand in hand with the solid cash flow generation, provides the required financial strength to continue investing in key growth projects while helping to navigate the challenges ahead without requiring external financing. It is also worth noting that, as has been the case in the previous quarters, the company cash flow was strong enough to partially prepay debt solely through internal resources. Moving on to our business units, although the headwinds mentioned earlier had a wider impact on Mexico's operation top line, EBITDA margins remained relatively strong when compared to the same period last year, supported by the execution of strategic initiatives such as investments and reconfiguration of process to achieve operational efficiencies, a strict and comprehensive cost control, and greater focus on higher value-added products. Turning to Cement U.S., operational performance remained strong as EBITDA and profitability margins improved on an annual and sequential basis, despite facing production pressures amid supply chain and labor shortages. Behind this resiliency we find strategic initiatives to offset the effect of rising input prices. Saving achieved through a higher use of recycling processes and product mix improvements. In Cement Central America, even though revenue posed a small decline due to certain disruptions in the supply chain, EBITDA improved on an annual basis, with stable margins in line with our focus on efficiency to enhance profitability. On the next slide, we present the significant progress that Fortaleza Materiales has made since onset of COVID-19, where we have both managed to maintain the EBITDA generation above pre-pandemic levels while achieving margin improvements. Moving on, by business unit, we can see that results achieved during the quarter are in line with the objectives set and continue to show the positive trend seen on previous periods, especially when considering the external factors that have weighed on our sales across all regions. On the recent development side, this quarter marks the beginning of a new cycle for Fortaleza Materiales as an independent, publicly traded company. Our main goal behind the decision to spin off the company was to create two separate entities with an improved strategic and operational focus, higher agility, optimized capital structures, and stronger financial profiles. We believe this strategic decision will allow us to increase focus on key growth pillars and reach incremental operational efficiencies, resulting in a leaner and more profitable company. As for the outlook towards year-end, cement consumption is expected to preserve a stable path, although it is important to highlight that the supply side constraint and labor force shortage have an impact on virtually every industry capacity to properly meet demand, including the cement industry. This environment of rising energy inputs and transportation costs is expected to persist throughout year end of 2021 and 2022, together with certain logistic issues. We will continue focusing on preserving our operational efficiency across all businesses, focusing on productivity with comprehensive initiatives on cost, expenses, and pricing, aiming to maximize cash flows and ensure the required financial capacity to remain investing in key areas oriented to benefit from each segment opportunities. In this sense, although inflationary pressure have become a concern, we expect to weather them properly supported by aforementioned initiatives. To close my comments, allow me to share our $60 million expansion investment plan for 2022. In Cement Mexico, to complement our initiatives for further efficiencies, we will expand our cement mill capacity with a new grinding line at our El Palmar plant in central Mexico, with about 300,000 additional tons, which will allow us to better serve the demand in Mexico. And in Cement Central America, we will make major strides to expand our market outreach by building a grinding facility in El Salvador with a capacity of 200,000 tons per year. All in all, in terms of our investment program, we will maintain a conservative and balanced approach, light of the complex market dynamics. And there are no plans to carry out ambitious or aggressive expansions that could entail extraordinary investment beyond our internal capabilities. But we will remain vigilant on other organic or inorganic growth opportunities that allow us to generate incremental value and enhance our market position. Last but not least, we are conducting comprehensive actions on the ESG front, such as the execution of transversal analysis of materiality, mapping on greenhouse gases emissions, identification of green alternative for power generation, and continue to expand our waste to fuel and recycling business. And also, corporate awareness of our relationship with the communities where we operate and with all our our stakeholders. That concludes my remarks, and now I will turn it over to Maria de Lourdes to review our financial performance.
Thank you, Jaime. Good morning, everyone. I am very pleased to share with you the results of Fortaleza Materials for the third quarter of 2021, as well as key developments of the period. Before starting, I would like to note that figures to be discussed were prepared based on business considerations that resulted from the spin-off of the Building Systems and Metals, now Elementia Materiales, from Elementia, whose name was changed to Fortaleza Materiales. Therefore, for comparability purposes, unaudited pro forma figures from January through August 2021 are used and summed up to September 2021 that already reflects the spin-off, while quarterly and accumulated figures of 2020 all are pro forma. In the third quarter 2021, consolidated net sales totaled 3.2 billion pesos, representing 3% decrease when compared to the same period last year, mainly due to external factors, such as the softer market conditions in Mexico that follow the electoral race, weather effects in the United States, and supply disruptions and labor shortage, which all resulted in a lower sales volume this period. However, accumulated net sales reached 9.4 billion pesos, 9% higher than 2020, mainly due to higher volumes and prices in local currencies across all regions. Consolidated cost of sales to revenue ratio decreased 19 percentage points in the third quarter 2021 compared to the same period last year, from 71% to 52%. The decrease was mainly due to the reversal of the Keystone Plan impairment, favorably impacting the cost in cement United States by $36 million. In addition, cement's Mexico cost has been affected by higher raw materials and fuel prices. As a result, gross profit for the third quarter 2021 grows 60% on an annual basis, with a 48% margin, compared to the 29% margin reported in the same period 2020. Year-to-date, gross profit climbed 22% on an annual basis with a 30% margin. As of quarter end, accumulated operating income was 1.9 billion pesos, 38% higher than that of the third quarter 2020. Quarterly consolidated EBITDA reached 990 million pesos, represented a 3% decrease when compared to the same period last year. This variation was mainly reflected in Mexico, where prices surged in raw materials and fuels. On a year-to-date basis, EBITDA amounted to 2.6 billion pesos, a 10% increase when compared to the first 9 months of 2020. EBITDA margin was 28%, in line with that reported in the same period last year. Consolidated net income reached 911 million pesos over the quarter of 1.1 billion pesos for the first 9 months of 2020, with an annual growth rate of 187% and 219% respectively. Turning to the performance of each business unit, starting with Cement Mexico, in the third quarter 2021, Cement Mexico recorded a 5% annual decrease in net sales due to the market downturn that followed the electoral race last June. Nonetheless, Cement Mexico reported a 15% annual increase in net sales for the first 9 months of 2021, supporting a strong EBITDA generation. As a result of softer market conditions and rising fuel prices, mainly this quarter, operating income was 7% lower than that of the same period 2020, reaching 449 million pesos, that compared to the 484 million pesos recorded last year. Quarterly EBITDA reached 600 million pesos, 8% lower than that recorded in the third quarter 2020, with a 39% margin that compared to the 40% margin recorded last year. Accumulated EBITDA reached 1.8 billion pesos, 9% higher than the figure reported in the same period last year. We can conclude the results for the third quarter 2021 were mainly impacted by a demand contraction and the increase in fuel costs, bringing down sales volumes and increasing production costs without being able to offset both effects with mill price adjustments. Cement United States operations, despite adverse weather conditions and lower sales prices due to the oversupply of cement in the markets we serve, recorded net sales of 1.6 billion pesos in the third quarter 2021, slightly below than those reported in the same period last year. Operating income was positively impacted by the reversal of the impairment loss of the Keystone plant, which was directly reflected in the cost of sales line. Consequently, quarterly EBITDA reached 322 million pesos, which is a margin of 20%. On an accumulated basis, EBITDA increased 6% compared to 2020, maintaining a 14% margin for the first 9 months of the year. Cement Central America's net sales in the quarter slightly decreased due to supply chain disruptions. However, in line with our commitment to top profitability, we are ongoingly strive to explore further operating efficiencies to improve the business P&L. Over the quarter, Cement Central America net sales and EBITDA were up 12% and 18% in an annual basis, respectively. This growth shows a consistent recovery in demand and the sales volume over 2021. Operating income increased 22% and EBITDA margin was 30%, reflecting our commitment to maximize available resources and maintain a highly efficient operation. About the cash flow, as of quarter end, cash flows before CapEx were 1.1 billion pesos and represented 44% of EBITDA. The use of cash flow mainly derived from an incremental working capital and the start of operation of the expansion projects of the El Palmar line and the new mill in El Salvador. The cash burn of third quarter 2021 was just 58% of that recorded as of the end of 2020, mainly from the use of a cash surplus for advance payments of debt that we made on January and April. Likewise, there was a higher deployment of working capital, mainly from the incremental use of petcoke, one of our main feedstock for cement production. About the debt, gross debt as of quarter end amounted to 9.9 billion pesos, following the debt split resulting from the spin-off, marking a sound financial position, counting on a leverage ratio of 2.51 times and an interest coverage of 3.98 times. It is worth mentioning that agreements reached with our creditors based on cross guarantees that expire until July 2024 consider consolidated covenants that as of quarter end were agreed at 2.23 times for the leverage ratio and 4.60 times for the interest coverage. At the end of the third quarter 2021, around 80% of the gross debt was denominated in Mexican pesos, lessening our exposure to exchange rate risk fluctuations counting in addition on a natural hedging provided by our operations in the United States. It is important to note that 30% of the debt is subscribed at a fixed rate and 70% floating. All in all, we are walking through the year end focused on the following milestones. First, generation of EBITDA towards year end with a laser focus on the product's quality and profitability of every business. And second, the preservation of the financial discipline with a tight cost and expense control through year end as we seek to improve the working capital without jeopardizing the swift operation achieved at every business unit. With this, I conclude my remarks.
Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad at this time. If you are using a speakerphone, please make sure that your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment.
And we'll take our first question from Alejandro Obregon with Morgan Stanley.
Hi, good morning for the Fortaleza team. Thank you for taking my question. I actually have one in the U.S. I'm curious on the results that you reported, especially on pricing and your comments regarding the excess supply in some regions. So I was wondering if you could help us understand the dynamics here. And particularly, what are you seeing with regards to pricing on the ground today? I might have a follow-up, but I'll ask that afterwards. Thank you.
Hi, Alejandra. It's Jaime Rocha. I'm answering your question. To the 2021 pricing, you will not see pricing at the expected level by analysts. Because we do have, in all the main industry, I would say, contracts that we have to respect with construction companies that started work before this all these boom or tailwinds for consumption of cement and buildings in the U.S. That's first. And then what will happen in the future is that as long as the contracts are finishing, there the new pricing will come into effect, let's say, in a progressive way along the new work are starting with our customers.
Thank you. And, that was actually my...
Sorry?
Go ahead.
No, and you asked more or less which would be the price increase you will be forecasting. I would say between 7% and 10% for next year.
Understood. Very clear.
Because depending where you are, you have different competition and you have different price levels and so. But we expect that next year to offset cost increase will be about between 7% and 10%.
Understood. That was actually my question. So if I'm allowed to follow up, can you comment on what percentage of your customers are typically exposed to large and long-term pricing contracts and what percentage are typically exposed to spot prices?
Well, difficult to say very specifically, but I would say more or less 70% are big contractors with big works that long-term contracts, and then you have 30% that are more or less floating.
Understood. And finally, if I may, can you comment on this excess supply that you mentioned in the release? Where in your areas of operation are you seeing excess supply at the moment?
Sir, can you answer that again? Because I didn't hear.
Yeah, my question was on the excess supply that you comment on the release, that you're saying that you're seeing some excess supply in some regions in the U.S. that allowed or that stopped pricing in some regions and is causing some pricing declines at the moment. So I was just wondering if you can elaborate on where are you seeing the excess supply?
Hold on a second. Well, about incremental cost, Alejandra, we do have exposure on our fuel cost. We, fortunately, in the U.S., we have a right mix between alternative fuels, gas, coal, etc. But petrol, for example, has had a high increase in the cost, let's say more than double in a year. And that is reflected to even more than double if you consider also the freight costs and the difficulty of getting the freight for the fuels. And that's one. And then also we have had incremental cost of energy, electrical energy in all the three regions where we operate. And also, even though it's something that normally you review yearly, we have also impacts on the salaries and also what is indirect cost related to the spend in the maintenance and also equipment, etc. Because everything has been impacted by inflation, generally speaking. I don't know if I'm answering your question with this.
Thank you for the caller. I actually was referring to cement, so I'll try to rephrase my question. Can you comment on the dynamics of supply and demand in the markets that you operate? What did you see during the quarter, and what are you seeing as we approach the fourth quarter?
Seeing that in this perspective, we see that depending on the market, let's say in the south where we operate, we are sold out. We are producing everything we can. We are selling everything we can produce, and the same is happening with all the rest of the competitors, I would say, because marketing is pulling production up. In the central area, I mean in the mid-Atlantic area, there's much more competition. Notwithstanding that, we are at full capacity. We see a very good demand track, and our expansion to the central area of Ohio has been very successful to keep our plant at very high utilization levels. And looking at the north, where also we have a lot of more competition, we have also Canadian imports, etc., that's been more difficult to get up the pricing. You have there also is where we have more impact by the fuel cost because we are operating the petrol there. So we see that demand is also growing, not growing as fast as it's growing in the south, but it's still something very positive for a good pricing trend for next year.
Thank you very much for the caller, and thank you for the additional disclosure in the press release. Thank you.
And we'll take our next question from Francisco Suarez with Scotiabank.
Thank you for the call. Good morning, and congrats on the execution on the U.S. operations. It is a very tough market with the McKinney's guys and their expansions on Ravina and the like. So the question that I have is on your grinding facilities. It is a very tough environment currently to pass through the incremental costs in freight and shipping on anything you can think of. The question is, does sourcing clinker from Valderivas actually helps if that is the case that you are doing? And secondly, how do you think that you will be able to pass through the incremental costs on freights and the incremental cost on clinker and in the quarters ahead? Do you see that is possible?
Okay, thank you for the question. Very good one. Related to 2021, we had all our contracts done from early 2020. We were in advance. So for 2021, we don't see any impact because everything was contracted. For 2022, we have everything contracted at the beginning of this year. So it was when this growing cost of freight and clinker cost FOB started. So let's say for the following month and next year, we are set.
That's very clear, very helpful. Thank you so much. Congrats again.
We'll take our next question from Gordon Lee with BTG.
Hi, good morning. Thank you very much for the call. My question is a bit of a follow-up from the previous one. First, I was wondering if you could tell us in the expansion in Central Mexico where you're sourcing that clinker from. And then the second one is in El Salvador. Is that integrated or is that clinker as well? And related to that in general, thinking about Central America, I would assume that if the U.S. continues to grow the way that it's growing and it continues to import increasing amounts of cement, it will become more and more difficult to source clinker for Central America. So I was wondering what your view is on that and how you think that might affect cement prices in that region. Thank you.
Okay, thank you for your question. Okay, first about the expansion capacity in Central Mexico, that's something that will balance our clinker and cement capacities. We have overcapacity in clinker in our plants in Hidalgo, so this expansion in Central Mexico is to balance this. So it's our own source of clinker. Talking about our expansion in Central America, in El Salvador, it's a grinding plant that will be operating in 2023, as you say, at the end of this year or beginning of 2023. We do not have still the source of clinker for that, but we expect that we have more than a year to see a drop in the international prices and this international pressure that we see in everything on the Atlantic. So by the pricing, I would not expect anything today. I believe that the pricing levels in Central America are attractive still, and also the difficulties of bringing imported products such as clinker or even cement will protect these markets in the near future.
But if I could just have a quick follow-up, but don't you think maybe the risk is in the opposite direction, in the sense that if the U.S. continues to grow its imports, there will just be less clinker available to find its way to Central America and the Caribbean, and that as a result of that, you might have difficulty sourcing that clinker?
Okay, sure. For this purpose, we do have a company that is, let's say, related companies like CPD, the Metropolitan Rivas, that's the one that where we can pull clinker in case we don't find a better option.
Perfect. Understood. Thank you very much.
So I do not foresee any shortage of supply for clinker in respect of this new capacity in El Salvador.
Perfect. That's good to hear. Thank you.
And that does conclude the questions we have in the phone queue. At this time, I'd like to turn the call back over to management.
Well, my final remarks, thank you all for being here today in this call and your continued interest in Fortaleza Materiales. We will continue focusing on profitability, by mix improvement in Mexico, capture opportunities given the tailwinds in the U.S., and overall sustainable growth. Please do not hesitate to contact Elise if you have any additional questions or comments. We look forward to seeing you in the next call, and thank you very much.